Hello and welcome back to the Fantasy Footy Brains podcast. We are up to round five. We are still in the mud, really, based on the last couple of weeks, but I'm joined by Josh again, who is going through the depression with me. Josh, mate, last couple of weeks have been absolutely atrocious, and last week was no better for me. How was it for you?
Yeah, pretty dog shit as well, mate. To be fair, like the old Captain Turbo really set me back. But was able to recover a little bit with some scores from Hopgood and Tommy Dearden. Try-saving tackle, had some good gear in there, but still lost some ranks, which is not good when you're already at 15,000. So it's a long road back, I think, for both of us. But we're slowly getting there, I think. We'll get there.
Yeah, I definitely took one step back last week. What's that, sorry?
Speak it into existence.
Yeah, just kind of will it, and hopefully something will happen, because I definitely took a step back last week because of holding Cleary. Was a big mistake for me, but, you know, it is what it is. At least I'll save a trade at that point when he comes back in a couple of weeks. But, yeah, I'm definitely feeling the pain now, especially when I'm looking at players that I've got, like Joey Lussick and, you know, Hughes, Salmon, those kind of guys that barely, you know, scored past the teens. So, yeah, definitely poor looking at the moment.
2 weeks ago, we were saying, oh, Joey Lussick, great buy. Danny Levi, get off him. Now it's the opposite for some reason.
Yeah. I don't know what happened to Joey Lussick. He just fell off a cliff. I'd buy him, and then all of a sudden he starts scoring 20s. Incredible. And Hands comes back in the team. Anyway, less said about that, the better. I might do a quick wrap of the team list and just talk about some of the main changes coming into this round. So I guess looking at some of the positives for the Titans, there's been a few changes there. Jolliffe actually moves into the front row, and Aaron Clark comes into the starting position at lock, so he might be a bit of value there. Sam Hughes is actually starting for the Dogs this week, so probably one that I was looking to jump off this week, but now that he's in the starting position with Josh Curran as well, moving to the back row to replace Preston, I might be holding on to Hughes there for a week longer just to see how that pans out. For the Roosters, Angus Crichton comes into the starting team in the back row, and Satili Tupanua is pushed back to the bench, which is a bit unfortunate. Wasn't really panning out for Tupanua anyway, probably looking like a definite sell this week as well. For the Knights, Jaden Brayley starting at hooker, with Crossland moving back to the bench, and good to see Kai Pierce-Paul getting 80 minutes there on an edge again. So one that's looking like a bit of a positive buy as well coming into this week. For the Broncos, unfortunately, Willison is out after suffering a head knock at training, but it also sees Ben Takura named amongst the bench. So he's going to get his debut as well. Some, I guess, unfortunate news this week. Joe Chan isn't named. So Sean Blaw is still named in the back row there for the Storm. And Terrell May has also been pushed back to the bench. So a bit unfortunate there. He's still going to score well, but just unfortunate that he might not be a captaincy option this week.
Just quickly on Terrell May, mate, I'm going to jump in just because I think that's going to be a late swap. Like, I can't see Lindsay Collins coming back from a hamstring in 1 week. So I'd say just watch Wacko's Whisperers and all the rest of them, because I think he could be starting again. We'll see what happens. We're close to the team lists.
Yeah, I guess that's fair enough. He could be a late switch back to the bench, or even just drop out, because they do have plenty of depth there. The Roosters, they could bring someone else in, like an Egan Butcher or even Sia Wong onto the bench just to cover for a week while he's still recovering. I guess I kind of wanted to get your take on the halves situation this week, especially with Cleary still being out, and we only really got confirmation that he wasn't going to return for round five throughout the week. I think it was on Sunday that he confirmed himself he'd be back after the bye, so he should be back really not next round. Yeah, really helpful. Really helps out everyone that was holding on to him. But yeah, I mean, this week you got Hines out, and he was a popular in for Cleary last week. And also Galvin with that hip drop tackle, he's been suspended for 2 weeks, who we were kind of banking on to be able to chuck in the halves this week. So two pretty popular halves options, both out. Kind of struggling for halves. I guess what options are you looking at this week to fill those halves positions? Because we've only really got Ethan Strange, I think most coaches have.
That's a good thing to highlight that some people maybe have forgotten about or don't realize that Ethan Strange has the jewel, so if you got an extra center, plug the center in and, I don't know, do some swapping out, get Strange in the halves. Well, really, mate, everyone should have started with Tommy Dearden, like myself, because then they wouldn't have this problem. But no, it's tough. Yeah, the halves options. I guess a lot of people are running with Jamal Fogarty as well, who's a pretty good buy. And I think he's probably past his point now that you wouldn't buy him. I think you've probably missed the boat a little bit with him. He's probably he's gone out like 150K almost. So I probably wouldn't do that, even though he has been scoring well. I think you're just kind of like buying him at the top of his value. I'd be interested to get your thoughts, mate, on Dylan Brown. He came back with a 60 on the weekend.
Yep.
He's in the dominant half now for the next, 6 to 8 weeks with Moses out with he got a foot fracture or something like that. So I'm kind of interested in Dylan Brown as an option in the halves. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, he was my first trade in this week after getting a 60. So Dylan Brown is the probably one player I think most coaches should look at just because he is 80K cheaper than Fogarty and should be seeing 50s at least for the next couple of weeks while Mitch Moses is out. He's been doing most of the kicking, Dylan Brown, but they did share it around quite a bit. So I think Gutho did a bit of kicking as well.
Watching Gutho put up a bomb like 20 meters out, I was like, what the fuck is
going on?
Jesus, team needs Moses. That's what I was thinking, this is grim.
We looked very wayward against the Tigers, to say the least. But 220 kick meters for Dylan Brown, so only 7 points, but should see that rise in the next couple of weeks as well. Should at least expect another 10 points from him in kick meters generally. So, I think he should be averaging probably around the 55 mark over the next couple of weeks. Probably next 2 months, really, while Moses is out. So I think he's a pretty safe buy to bring in Dylan Brown, and definitely cheaper than Fogarty. So one that most coaches should be looking at to fill the void this week.
Yeah, I like that shot.
And I don't really know who else there is at a cheap price. Like, he's 660K. It's still quite expensive. If you go a bit cheaper than that, like close to the 600 mark, you're looking at players like Sam Walker, Jackson Hastings, Matt Burton. Not a lot of value there, really. I think you probably have to spend a bit more to get a good scoring half at this point.
Yeah, Sam Walker interests me a little bit. Plays the Bulldogs this week. Had one solid score even with... I think he got HIA as well and came off early, but looked really good. That, who did they put a score on recently? The Roosters. So him and Sam Smith playing. He was dominant.
Oh, it was the Rabbitohs.
The Rabbitohs, yeah. 48-6. He looked really good that game, but I think we haven't really seen it that much with Keary in the side. Yeah. So it's pretty risky. Tim, and a lot of great options in the halves.
Yeah, I was keeping an eye on Katoa, actually, Isaiah Katoa at the Dolphins, just because he put an absolute score on the Dragons in round two before their bye. Was hoping he would keep the kick meters up, which he did, but he just had a couple too many demerits against the Titans. So I'm not really sure how he went from scoring a 57 to a 23, still keeping about the same kick meters. But yeah, he was one that I was hoping would pan out, but just didn't. So I think Fogarty and Dylan Brown are probably the best two players to bring in the halves to partner Ethan Strange. Obviously, Fogarty's a bit more expensive and kind of past the point that you want to get him, but most people already had him at this point. So if you don't have Fogarty, Dylan Brown's probably the next best thing to go.
Yeah, I guess if you're looking at a premium option in the halves, if you got the cash, because I guess a lot of people would have a bit of cash if they've sold Cleary. Who's the best premium option in the halves at the moment? Is it Fogarty? If you had the money, would you be going there? Would you be looking at guys like Cam Masters coming back this week or Jerome Hughes?
I think I'd avoid Hughes and Munster for the time being. I mean, for only 40K more than Fogarty is now, you can get Sean Johnson, who obviously based off last year is an absolute gun. This year, he hasn't really hit the same strides as last year, but he's still got 360-odd scores in the 4 games that he's had this year. So I think I'd feel more confident locking in Sean Johnson than the other options, you know, like a Cam Munster and Adam Reynolds around that price. So, yeah. Also, DCE has dropped a tremendous amount, but that's just because Luke Brooks has been taking a lot of the kick meters and a lot of the work that he used to have. So, yeah, I had him on my watch list, but it's just the last 4 weeks haven't really made me feel confident in getting him at all.
I agree. I think I'm definitely – there's going to be a point where DCE bottoms out and looks solid buy, but he also hasn't been playing well. That's why his prices have dropped so bad.
Yeah,
Manly exactly. Getting beaten by the Dragons for some reason. It's all going on. So he's probably one to watch, I think, more than anything. But and I just with SJ as well, he's now got the goal-kicking back because Metcalf's injured, looks like. So that's an extra, I don't know, 8-ish points potentially he's going to be getting each week
a
now.
Game, yeah.
So
correct.
I actually really like him as a buy moving forward. He's dropped,
yeah,
what, like 100K nearly? 87K?
Yeah, 100 odd. So yeah.
I think he's value.
Yeah, definitely one. If you can afford to get him in, would be a good buy this week as well. Definitely not a premium option. I guess the other players that people are looking at, a lot of people holding Joe Chan at the moment. Was meant to recover from that finger infection, I think it was, and come back into the team this week. Not even amongst the reserves. He's just completely out of the side for the Storm. I think it looks more likely that Bloor's going to be holding that back row spot from now on. I don't think we're going to see much of Chan anymore. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, geez, I hope not. It's, yeah, popular buy coming in. Not a lot of us knew a lot about him. I kind of thought Sean Bloor would win the spot over the preseason just because he's a weapon and kind of showed it in the past with the Tigers and, well, he's just played for the Tigers. But, yeah, it's, I wish we had some more news about it. I'll be keeping an eye on NRL Physio just in case anything pops up during the week, but I think at this stage he's still a hold, but it's tricky because a lot of us are holding, like I'm still holding Pierre Cora, a lot of us have same. Hines, a lot of us have Galvin. So I don't hate people jumping off, but I think there's still a chance next week he could be back in this pack because there doesn't seem to be a lot of news about what's happening with this injury. Even if he comes back on the bench next week, I think he's still probably got a low enough break even that he might make some points. So, or might make some money for you. He might kind of turn into a Sam Hughes type, but yeah, kind of tricky.
Yeah,
at this point,
I just, yeah, because I'm carrying Pierre Cora as well. And I think Pierre Cora is out for at least another 2 to 3 weeks with the ankle injury suffered at training. I think they thought it was a 3 to 4 week injury. So, he's one that I am going to stand by Pierre Cora because I think that he long term, like throughout this season, he's going to be a good moneymaker as long as he can get back into this team and actually stay on the field. But I just, now that Bloor's in that team, he's one good game away, Bloor, from securing that spot for me. I think Joe Chan's probably one that is worth jumping off to another cheapie at this point. But if it's not hurting your bench, there's no reason why you can't just stash him amongst your emergencies. That's the thing. I just don't think I'd put him in my 17 going forward.
Yeah, that's not a bad shout as well. A bit team dependent, but it's bloody rough because I don't even know who you go. There's not a lot of people you go down to from Joe Chan. He's at around 300K. Maybe this.
Yeah.
Blaze guy from the Eagles.
Yeah. Well, that's a good segue. I guess let's talk cheapies. Looking at players that are around 300K less this week, who are your top cheapies to target this week?
That's the thing, mate. I don't think there's that many. There's Blaze from the Eels.
Yeah.
What he got? A 34 in the halves. Got like a decent score, but didn't, you know, kick or anything like that. Kind of just playing like a running half role, it looks like. But no real attacking stats in there. An offloader, a line break. Kind of
his
risky.
His base stats are what are encouraging for me, though. 20 tackles in both games and around 100 metres in both games as well. So that's a straight 30 points there in his base and only at 300K, which is the most encouraging sign, I guess, for a cheapie.
Yeah, that's a good shout. But I don't know. I'm kind of scrolling through now. Is there any other cheapies that I'm missing this week?
I mean, realistically, there's really not that many. If you don't have Hughes, I mean, I wouldn't be jumping on him at this point anyway, if you didn't have him outside of Talangi, who I think is probably the best one. A lot of people are looking at, I guess, Fatapi, but because Stafford Toa's out, but I just don't see him kind of panning out at all at the Tigers. Like, he scored an 8 in a game that they were pretty dominant against Parramatta. Didn't really show much at all. Just because he's 230K, I mean, all he needs is one big score and he's going to be making cash, but I just think I'd avoid. Olam, I guess, is one that's playing quite well, but he's not really a cheapie anymore. He's kind of around the 400K mark and rising after his double against Para. Yeah, there's really not a ton of players that are sub 300K that, yeah, I guess it would be, I'd be confident would make a ton of cash at this point.
Yeah, there's a few interesting ones now that I'm kind of digging a bit deeper. Tommy Talau, I was keen on him a few weeks ago. Still keen on him, but I wouldn't be bringing him this week against the Panthers.
Yeah,
And
fair.
given the way that Manly have played last week, I'd be kind of holding out and see if he still has his spot, I guess, for a really nice matchup in the next couple of weeks. Could go all right. Smith Shields has been named on that wing spot. It looks like Cam Pereira has been dropped as
Yeah,
well.
amongst the reserves.
So he could be a buy in this team, but he's center only. And I think what traditionally hasn't had a massive base as well from these random stints at the Raiders, random games he's kind of subbed in for. So I don't really like it either. Would have to kind of show something before I jump on. Pretty grim.
There's a lot of risky ones that you could look at. Like, you could look at Jaden Hunt for a couple of weeks while Pierre Cora is out, that he's got that now that he's got the edge spot. He played 60 odd minutes there and managed a 29. Kal Iro is one that obviously has the bye this week, but one that I'm kind of eyeing off for next week at 268K. If he gets that spot again and Talakai is amongst the bench, he's one that I'd definitely be jumping on.
Actually, mate, while we're on the conversation, Chiefs, there's someone in the DMs asks about Jack Bostock. Do you think it's too late to jump on him? He got 40 odd last week. So should kind of kick some price rises up for him. If, the Dolphins have been going pretty well, and he seems to be one of the beneficiaries of making a half break and passing to Hammer. Seems to do one of those every week, and it's just instant try time. But, and they play what the Tigers this week, and they got the Broncos as well coming up. So, a few like all right matchups. What are your thoughts? Too late?
I think it's too late for him. Like, if you started with Bostock, which I think you did in initially,
Sharon.
he's made you plenty of cash and he's got a low break even now, so should be making a bit more cash over the next couple of weeks. But at 373, I don't see him going much further. He'll make another price rise this week for sure against the Tigers. And then, he comes up against the Broncos and Parramatta. I don't see it going past round 6 or 7 for him. Especially when you look at his stats. Like, he's got a good base in meters, but he gets barely any tackles, and it's very heavily driven by try assists and tries his scores. So, like, if you get rid of the two tries he scored against the Titans, he's down to a 20 and even sub 20 nearly as well when you look at his line breaks as well and tackle the amount of tackle busts he got. So, yeah, I wouldn't be relying on Bostock to keep getting those scores, especially when he's so try dependent to get that high.
Risky.
There was a reason he was already that low to begin the season as well.
That's true. Any love for Jacob Post?
Oh, I haven't even considered Jacob Post now that he's playing in the back row. What did he score? Come on, rip the
39 last
Band-Aid off.
week. 39 last week, 46 the week before.
Yeah, he scored a try though, didn't he?
He did
He
the
scored a try.
46 week, yeah.
Okay.
It was a real, I think it was a real junk time try. Oh yeah, because they were getting pumped by the Roosters.
Yeah. No. I'm not gonna put
Can't be hurt
myself through
again.
that to again. Yeah, especially he's at 400K looking at it now. It does look kind of tempting, you know, break even of 18, but nah, I'm not going to do that. I'm too scared that he's going to score like a two after he starts, plays the first 10 minutes, and then doesn't play the rest of the game.
What if he changed too scared his name to be true. Jacob Jost? Would you be more interesting?
Anyone different, I would yeah. be interested. But not Jacob Host as he is now. Not a chance.
For those who remember, we brought him in last year for his round 13 buy, and he got a single digit score, I think, when
yeah.
after Bunny's team was out for Origin and injuries, which really hurt, but
devastated.
Yeah. Pretty grim in the streets if we're talking about Jacob Host.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think, like, this week, what are, like, most people will be looking to get a half just to replace Galvin. And because Hines is on a bye, but like, what are people probably looking for this week? Probably a replacement for Burbo would be one that I'd be considering, just because he looks like he has basically hit the limit on his price rising potential. Unless he can get another big score, break even of 27 this week for Burbo. If you're looking at other centers, do you think it might be time to drop him down to a Talangi?
Yeah, a bit of blaze action. I think it might be. Kind of bank.
That's a bit of a luxury trade though, right? Like, especially if you've got other fires to put out.
I think so, yeah. I am not super concerned about it. I'm probably going to roll with him again and just hope for the best, just because my, team sucks.
Yeah,
but
fair.
I think I'd rather trade out someone like a Tupanua over a Burbo at this stage, just because Burbo, I don't know, doesn't... Yeah, he could, if he comes out and scores a try, gets, you know, a 30, 40-ish, could kind of get a new round of price rises going for him. Be nice if he finishes around that 400K. And yeah, he just needs to kind of crash over for one. He obviously plays the Panthers this week, which could be a pretty grim score for him. But the other thing with Burbo is pretty much everyone's rolling with him. Like, he's 64% owned.
Yep.
So I don't think he's going to super hurt you if you got him in your team still. A lot of people are going to be stuck for centers this week and have similar problems. So I don't think it's a must trade. Yeah, it's definitely luxury.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely fair. I guess looking at some other players that people brought in, maybe we should consider what we're going to do. I guess a little buy, hold, sell, or what you're thinking about them. Finifuiaki for the Cowboys. Didn't play huge minutes week just gone, only managed a 26. Is he a hold for now?
Yeah, I think so. Just there's bigger fires with guys like Tupanua and even guys like Jamin Salmon. I'd probably be more
he was
going to
be the next one.
getting rid of than Finifuiaki. He played 67 minutes, to be fair, but just not getting a whole bunch of points, which is a shame. Who the Cowboys play this week? The Titans. You could see him crashing over against the Titans. So
yeah, fair.
I would hold if you're an owner.
Fair. What about Jamin Salmon? Break even of 20 against the Roosters this week.
I think I'm going to give him another week. I'm hoping that Josh Curran in the edge rotation now might see him get a few more minutes, but he's just got that Gerbo, like, run to the line and pass roll, and it just doesn't get you points, unfortunately.
Even though Gerbo has been actually doing well this week, this year, he's averaging 20-odd at lock and scoring 50-odd at lock and pretty much scoring 50 every week, which is surprising.
Yeah, some people, like, and Isaiah Yeo is a similar kind of mold and does it, but still, I don't know, tucks under his arm at some point, but Jamin Salmon doesn't do it as much and then has the demerits as well, which really hurt him.
Yeah, plenty of missed tackles.
Yeah, six last week, which, and then an error. So, penalty in there too.
I think he moved to the centers as well, Salmon, because Adokar got injured as well. So, he did that swap again. And same happened with Kiraz as well. So, he had to move out to a wing and suffered a similar fate in terms of his points. So, yeah, I wouldn't read too much into that low 20. It does, should see that rise again, but I don't see it going back to, you know, 40s or anything like that. His Salmon hasn't really been hitting that anyway.
Okay. No, that's good to know. And yeah, his score does look a little bit different if he doesn't get as many missed tackles and stuff like that. Hopefully he can get back in the 30s this week and kind of continue those price rises a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking to some, I guess, options that most people have on the watch list this week, Jaden Campbell only managed a 27, but looked pretty good in attack when he did get chances. What are your thoughts? If you brought him in, probably a hold, but if you haven't brought him in yet, are you looking to bring him in anytime soon?
Yeah, I'm pretty keen on him. I think he is going to come good. He's a bit tricky in the sense that it's hard to predict when he's going to have a good game. Like, he could have another low one this week and then score a good score against, like, one of these better teams you wouldn't expect him to, like a Storm or a Panthers. Wouldn't surprise me if that happened. So he's a little bit weird in a matchup sense, I think, but I think you get him in. He did drop a little bit of coin last week, maybe like 10K, something like that. So get him a little bit cheaper, but he's going to come good eventually. And I think this Titans team surely has to turn it around a little bit.
Des gave him an absolute revving. I saw the video from Fox Sports. That was not a happy dressing room to be in after that game.
Revs. Old mate Sticky wasn't too happy with the Raiders. He said, like, is there any positives?
None of them deserved.
Yeah, like, none of them played well or something. I was like, Jesus.
Yeah. None of them deserved any props. Fair enough. They were 18-0 up and then got destroyed by the Sharks. I think it's 30 unanswered points after that. So, yeah, I can understand why he'd be mad.
Yeah.
What about Turbo? Pretty mixed bag. He looked absolutely amazing for the first 5-10 minutes. And then, three errors on the trot in like 5 minutes after that was pretty disappointing against the Dragons.
Yeah, 39 points. I'm still holding him. Well, I brought him in last week. I can't sell him this early. But I'm waiting for some good matchups. It might be a tough one with him this week and the Panthers, but I would be holding. I wouldn't be looking to do anything with him.
Yeah, exactly. I think he's probably a long-term keeper.
Yeah,
in the winger fullback role. And I guess we kind of willed it into existence last week. Well, I did anyway, without you on the pod, when I was talking about Denny Levi. I was basically writing him off as a sell last week and saying, look, he's on his last couple of weeks, but managed to get a big score and should see the price rises keep rolling in with a break even of 10.
Underrated that Danny Levi scored 3 tries in 4 weeks. How's that happen?
Crazy. Yeah.
But he might be the Raiders' top try scorer. But yeah, keep riding with him. He's base and a few other things look a little better. He's still got a lot of demerits in here, but yeah, got a line break, got a few tackle breaks. So yeah, happy days if you're a Danny Levi owner. He kind of came in clutch last week when folks needed him. Hopefully he does the same this week.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about two other players that are pretty highly owned, close to 30% of teams, and I'm sure there's some coaches that are kind of questioning what to do with them at the moment. First one's Ruben Cotter. Had one big score in the 60s and other three in the low to mid 40s. What are you thinking there? He's kind of been a bit of a mixed bag, not consistent minutes. Yeah, not sure where to go.
Has been a little bit. It's kind of weird. Like, the Taumalolo knee stuff has really made this Cowboys pack kind of like unpredictable, because there's some weeks where, and I'm not sure if people have been keeping up with the news, but Taumalolo has got some like degenerative knee issues that came out. So if it seems like if the Cowboys have got, you know, are up by a decent amount, they're going to just put Lolo on ice for the rest of the game. Like, he's got 20 minutes some games, which when that happens, Ruben Cotter's usually the beneficiary. I guess 70 plus minutes. Could be one of those weeks this week against the Titans, but I guess with that as well comes the, I think it offsets a little bit because it usually means he doesn't need to work as hard because the Cowboys are up by so much. So
Not as much defensive stats, not as many tackles. Yeah, it's a bit tough.
Exactly. But I don't know, 46, it's not too bad. Like, it's a lot of a lot of people would be pretty happy to have a 46 in their team, including myself at this point,
Yeah.
just given how dog shit everyone else has been. So
Yeah.
I'm pretty happy to keep rolling with him. He still made a bit of money last week. Hopefully he gets another big score to kind of keep those price rises going. But he's, I know, a fine hold, and then maybe reassess close to origin whether you hold him or what you do with him, I think.
Yeah, fair enough. I guess you just don't want to. Well, I guess the price doesn't really matter too much at 640K. There's just, I guess, when you think about it, there are some other players around the mid fives, high 500K mark that are probably scoring at the same or a bit higher. Like I'm thinking KPP from the Knights. Now that he's getting 80 minutes on an edge, he's probably scoring, around the 50 mark and should average around that for a cheaper price. So yeah, I guess it's just considering the players that are around that same price point that might have a bit more value in them at this point. And I guess similar for Jesse Arthurs, who's at 400K, break even of 29 this week. What are your thoughts around him?
Get off. Same for weeks.
Yep.
Just, yeah. It's, to be fair to him, he keeps getting tries. Keeps just crashing over for one kind of junk time try, or pretty sure he scored one last week against the Cowboys. But it's the weeks coming where he gets a single digit. So I'm, yeah. If I was, well, he got 22 last week.
With a
The
try.
writing's with a try, yeah. The
Yeah.
writing's on the wall. So, yeah, it's kind of hard because I guess a lot of people are probably running with guys like Tupanua, and it's probably other guys that they could sell. But they play the Storm this week. Could be a single digit this week. I'd be looking to jump off if he could. He's made 50 okay. He's done the job. Has it kind of hurt you and scored decent-ish scores in the 30s. But yeah, I'd be looking to jump off ASAP.
Yep, absolutely. That's pretty much it in terms of players that I wanted to touch on. Any players that you wanted to, I guess, get my opinion
Nah, mate, your opinion's useless. No, joking.
on? You're not actually wrong, to be fair. I am struggling so much this year. I think this year compared to others has just been one of the worst years for me. I don't know what's gone wrong.
And I don't think it's a not it's not just a you problem. Like, there's a few other friends and people in the, content creators kind of community and other folks that have really, yeah, struggled this year. But I'm not sure even what it's down to. Like, I think some of the old reliables haven't been as reliable. There's been a few guys like Zach Hoskins that have kind of, come out of nowhere, and or not come out of nowhere, but you wouldn't have expected Zach Hoskin to score like 280s to start the season
Yeah,
and
not
things like
wrong.
that. So it's been tough, but I think everyone's been covered, mate, from my perspective.
Yeah, I guess let's round up with players to watch this week. I think the big one for me over the next couple of weeks is probably David Fifita playing off the bench for the Titans. Is still got decent minutes last week and scored quite well. Like scored a 50 in 55 minutes, so he's probably one that I'm watching because his price is just coming down a little bit. And I'm hoping that he gets a lower score off the bench. And Jaden Campbell, I already bought Jaden Campbell, but he's one to watch over the next week or two. Once he bottoms out, one to jump on as well. At his price, 450K for a pretty gun winger once he hits some form. Yeah, probably the two that I'd be watching. Especially if the Titans can hit some form.
Yeah, the other one I'll throw in there just because he's a previous fancy weapon of years past is Angus Crichton. If he's got big minutes there for the Roosters, he's got two pretty bad scores, so definitely not one you need to jump on at the moment. He's averaging, geez, 14 points. That's criminal.
Yeah, off the
He used to
bench,
average
yeah.
like six, he used to average 60 plus. Used to be like a
Yeah.
top draft pick, but if he kind of replicates anything close to that, there's definitely some value there. He probably should be under 400K in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to him getting back to getting 80 minutes on an edge. That would be ideal because he's all I can afford at the moment. Righto. Thanks for your time, Josh. Any imparting words?
Well, good luck with everyone for good luck to everyone for this week. Keep at it. We'll get back in the ranks and hope you bring it.